Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. And boy, do we got a lot to talk about. We start with our Houston Rockets as they finally won a game last night. Played the way that they were supposed to. With KD on the bench. Anybody notice? Did you notice anything about KD on the bench last night, Lance? Did you happen?
Didn't notice? Oh, he was super friendly.
He was.
I noticed that. Like, he was talking to all the guys, smiling and laughing. His eyes
seemed like they were closed a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, I just noticed that he was, like, showing how he and his guy, man, they were all buds. Like, I love these guys.
Yeah.
These are my guys, man. It kills me that I wasn't even on the bench for game three because I was getting around-the-clock treatment is what they were saying.
Treatment.
Maybe
Bell
it's
is
true.
Yelling treatment just, in there.
So, look, maybe all that is true. Maybe he was getting around-the-clock treatment. But the fact that I think it's a possibility that Kevin Durant is just pumping up an injury, a second injury, because he's mad that Jabari Smith said something like he needs to do a better job of working out of double teams. The fact that I believe that there's a chance he has that kind of petty in him is not good.
That's not the case.
I guarantee you I'm not the only one who thought that.
I know. Trust me. After Jabari said it, I said, uh-oh. KD's gonna be mad at you. Oh, here comes the burner account.
I know. But we all thought that.
Way that's the case.
Is there any part of you that ever thought there was a chance that Durant's not as hurt as much as he's saying?
No.
At any point this playoffs?
No. I thought.
So you think he's full on injured?
I did
no
think that maybe that's why he wasn't on the bench. But there's no way that he's not playing.
Yeah.
Or he's
right.
Not as hurt that he could play. Oh. There's no way.
So on the bench, for sure, I thought that. Yes.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be able to think that about one of the players.
Right.
That should not even be a factor that somebody said something about being better against double teams. And so you say, I'm not sitting on the bench. I'm going to show you. That dude is a 37-year-old grown man. And this whole trade sucks now. I said the whole time. I was fine in the regular season. But my entire point is that if you make this trade, he has to stay healthy. Or you've thrown away everything. And that he has to help you win in the playoffs. And he's not even healthy for the playoffs. And I bet you he doesn't play in the next one. Did you see the comments yesterday about, that this is a 2 to 3 week injury?
No. We've got Ime talking about it.
Yeah, the report from Shams is that normally this is 2 to 3 weeks, so he would be nowhere near ready to play. But around-the-clock treatment because it's the playoffs.
It's around the clock. If you're sitting on the bench, you can't be getting treatment.
Well, that's the thing. It's around the clock, but not during game four.
Right. Apparently, they stopped.
I guess
for game
he got
four.
Enough of it beforehand.
Have you ever watched chess where you make a move and you hit the clock real fast and it stops?
Yeah.
And then, like, that's all he did was he hit the chess clock real fast. And so time stopped for him.
Yeah, well, I don't know if time stopped. Well, it seemed like it might have stopped for him the way his eyes looked. But apparently he was well enough or the treatment stopped
better.
That 3 hours. It stopped for 3 hours. So, but he's apparently not going to be able to play anyway in game five. Because here is Ime. We do have Ime talking about the injury.
Yeah, supposedly.
No, really. We do have Ime talking about. He's his coach, and he knows. Well, listen, we got Dave. How do you say it? McMenamin?
Dave McMenamin.
McMenamin.
Yeah.
I got sound from him talking about this.
Yeah, we've got some things.
But we also have Amen talking about KD. When asked about it, he said, I don't know how he is, if you want to know the truth. I just don't know. So that was kind of, it was like, what? How do you not know about your teammate and your best player and whether or not he's going to be able to play and how his treatment's going? I would think you're, if listen,
You think they're on a big text string where they all chat together?
If like, they were,
hey,
yeah,
what's
they
up,
were,
big bro?
If this
you think
was
that's
girls,
attention,
they would
up,
be like, girl, how you been? How's it going?
Yeah. Or if they were dudes, they'd just say, what's up, big bro? How we feeling?
How we feeling?
Man, we got to get you back out there. Like, no one knows because no one texts him because he's not friends with anybody.
Well,
he's an independent contractor. That dude, if he had a wedding, the only people there would be people he never played with.
Wait, you don't think any of his teammates would come to his
wedding? No.
Oh, I think some teammates would.
Oh, yeah, the sons loved him.
I mean, Ime loves him. I mean, Ime does love him. Here is Ime talking about KD after the game.
I'm just looking at the time frame of that specific injury and what it takes, but, you know, we didn't know how bad it was initially, like you said, and then we got that prognosis, but he's doing what he can to get swelling out, mobility back, and just like the knee, we weren't sure when he was going to come back, but he snapped back pretty quickly to be available for game two, so it's a true game-to-game, day-to-day thing.
That's terrible sound. Terrible. I mean, how is it that they don't have better sound than that?
Well, generally, where we're grabbing stuff from is people, media
recording
people
off their recording phone, from their own like phone.
Well, why? Probably. Why would you do that when you're in a press conference?
Just well, because it's
record
video.
Record off the mic.
It's video. It's more the video.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah,
that's terrible.
They're not.
So anyway, he said he was about 50%, and he was moving at about 50%, and there's no way he could play at 50%. So, and this looks like an injury that is going to take time. So, the chance of him coming back are slim to none.
What a waste. And if you get beat the next game out, it should be 2-2. Okay, because there's a lot to talk about. The Game 3 disaster deserves its own segment.
Yeah, well, it deserves its own show.
Yeah, I mean, what an absolute disgrace. But we will give it its time. Let's do it next segment. But right now, you should be 2-2. But this entire trade was made to get you over the hump. And if the dude can't even play in the playoffs, and now you're about to give him a bunch of money, and you don't even know if he gets along with his teammates or if his teammates even like him. Like they're clearly not tight. I mean, they're clearly not tight.
Yeah.
So there's a big age difference, but he's got a big age difference on every. You know, on every roster, but they're clearly not tight. Yesterday looked like old school Rockets. Well, old school. It's not old school Rockets. It looked like the young core, you know, that we had seen. Doing some dumb stuff. We're used to some dumb basketball. That's just part of the equation. But, man, the Terror Twins were in full effect.
Mm-hmm.
And Albie was attacking. You know, I'll say this about Albie. I'm in the middle of watching that game, and every time he's going down, and I mean, he is banging. They've got the slow motion where he's firing elbows and forearms, and he's doing everything he can. And it kind of dawned on me. I said, you know what? This dude's busting his ass. Like, he doesn't want to go home. He's giving everything he's got. Albie does some stuff that makes me frustrated and mad, makes you frustrated, makes all of us frustrated and mad. But he's not a quitter, and he's also not somebody who shies away from moments. Like, he tries. He wants to make plays in big moments. And so, you know, you have to be excited about the mentality that, hey, I'm not on my watch, you know. And that's how Albie attacked the game. And I'm not always going to be happy with every possession, John. I mean, I'm not.
Well, listen, but he has been a mess in this series.
Uh-huh.
Yet, before the game, he gave them a motivational speech.
Mm-hmm.
And Amen credited him. You know what? That pregame speech that motivated the guys. And
that's leadership.
Well, that's right. You don't even have to be playing great, be the best player.
They
all had Jabari's back. Jabari pretty much lost game three because of that pass. It was so stupid. Just dribble the ball. What are you
don't
doing?
Don't forget Jay Sean, dumb Jay Sean.
Well, Jay Sean had his part, but it was because they had the ball because Jabari, with 30 seconds left, is throwing the ball into a crowd
as opposed to
dribbling it up. And he's a good free throw shooter. Let them foul you, Jabari.
Right.
Let them foul you.
Right.
That would have been fun.
Amen played his role, too.
Amen played his role.
Go back and get the freaking ball.
Reed played his role. They all did.
Yeah.
They all played their role, but they had each other's back.
Off the side of the backboard.
Alpi and the play call. And then, well, everybody had everybody's back except the coach. Didn't have any accountability.
No. He is like, well, that was some of the dumbest basketball I've seen in my life.
Yeah.
This isn't what he said, but he might as well have said this. These guys are low-key blank. And I can't even do anything with this. This is ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
Saw how terrible they were. These guys are some terrible-ass basketball players with terrible – they're stupid. They're mad dumb. This is basically what Ime was saying.
Yep.
He didn't say these exact words, but it didn't take much to read that.
But then
– none of it, you know, he didn't say anything like, I don't know. I'm just so tired of him not even giving a cursory. No. I got to do a better job at put these guys in the right
even
spot.
If he doesn't mean it.
Even if he doesn't mean it. Because we think they're the ones who screwed up Ime. That's fine. But every once in a while, man, can you shield your guys every once in a while? My buddy Rodney Williams, who's who's an NFL agent, and Rod and I are real close, and he played college ball. And I've always, like, he has great insight into basketball. One of the things he told me yesterday, we talked about the Rockets, and he said, you know, it's hard when you have a coach like Ime with young guys. And I think initially he was good for the young guys because there was the KP. They were coming off the KPJ and Jalen and vibes and all that stuff where everyone just ran over the coach. And I think he was really good for getting the room straightened up. I really do. But he said at some point, he goes, right now, the yelling and screaming and the negativity, he made a point that look at Reed Sheppard. He's got to fight through all that because he knows, you know, he's just – and he said, to his credit, he will keep shooting. But you got Tari Eason, who kind of just had a whole month where he fell apart. Like, you know, his point was, he said, I love Ime. I'm a big Ime fan. But this probably isn't the right kind of personality for the team anymore because it's just too negative. Like, everything's too negative with Ime now. And there might be something to that because I was so excited about Ime Udoka, but – man, the way that he just wears into his players after games and never shields them at all, like they're not gonna rally around him. They're not gonna buy into him. If you're the dad that only if it's only the stick and never the carrot, eventually you wear thin real quick.
Yeah,
and that's what he is, man. He's just at least to my eyes.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not like that behind the scenes, but it just seems like you're just going to catch the belt. That's all you're going to get is belt to ass, and there's not a lot of loving them up. When sometimes in the hardest moments, like I wonder how he reacted with Jabari, because this is more than the series is probably over. But in that moment, you get pissed off, but you go in and you in the locker room at some point you have to say, hey. Because this is more than just right now. This is next year. This is the year after. You got a long-term extension. At some point, you got to go in there and you say, hey, man, listen, we lost and you had a rough play, but this is not going to define you. You're a much better player. You know, at some point, you got to, like, be a dad. You got to know when to pick them up. And
Well, we don't know what he did. We don't know.
I don't know what he did.
He made them watch their debacle right after the game.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, but it was incredibly stupid. It was incredibly stupid basketball.
It was.
But anyway, Alpi, who hasn't played well, gave the speech before the game last night, and here's Amen giving him credit. And then we'll hear from Alpi talking about giving the speech because he did have something funny to say. Here is Amen first.
Overall, a do-or-die situation. Not only did you guys do it, but you did it with an exclamation point. What did it take to get a win like this in an elimination game?
We were all ready. You know, Alpi gave us a motivational speech this morning, and we took that and we ran with it. And we got to go do that next game in L.A.
Absolutely. I love that. A good pregame talk. But 24 Lakers turnovers overall this game. What does it say about this group, the defensive effort? How was this game won on that end of the floor?
I mean, you saw Tari, you saw J.O., you saw Reed, you know, diving on the ball. They were great. Just forcing turnovers, and we capitalized off that.
And then thanks so
you
much.
Know,
good luck in L.A.
Yeah, LeBron is catching it a little bit today. He's been crap the last two games.
And guess what? He's catching it from himself. Like, yeah. He just jumped out and said, it's on me. That game was on me.
He was terrible. He was awful.
It's weird to hear somebody say that they're part of the loss.
Right, that's weird.
Right.
Well, here's Alpi now. Alpi, after the game, Alpi told about the speech that he had given. Apparently, it was motivating for him because the guys, Amen talked about it, right? And Alpi even mentioned, I gave. Now, it ain't easy. If I was on the Mexican soccer team, it would not be easy for me to give a pregame speech because it's not
your
first
Spanish
language.
Isn't fluid either, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. It's good. It's good. I can speak it, but you know, Alpi makes some mistakes. Alpi makes a few mistakes English wise, and you know what? And so it's not nearly as easy if he was going to give it in Turkish. Is that the language? Is it called Turkish?
What did he say? Because you're really setting this up. I'm like, it sounds like why is John attacking? He must have said something really crazy.
Well, no, he didn't say something crazy.
No, what he was, you know, being a second language, sometimes he's unsure. So he wanted to make sure, hey, did I get words right? And his teammates acknowledged that. Yeah, he's working
sometimes.
On things, and he's getting better.
He's getting better.
So here's Alpi on the exchange, and he mentions asking about did he get all the words right.
When you first got into the league, you were still learning English, and you know you had a translator for the first couple of years. When you think about like that to now, obviously it's been a work in progress, feeling comfortable enough to lead your teammates, you know, before a game and give them a speech, what comes to mind for you?
To be honest, today I was like, you know, I don't talk that much. Like, I talk in the game, but like I talk to individual, whatever. But like today, you know, I had a good talk, I think. And after the talk, you know, Amen was telling me that she really motivated me, you know, and then I was like, my English was good. And then he said, you messed up one point. Well, I don't care. So, you know, he said, I don't care. I still understand you. So I was happy, you know, they understand me. And it's hard, man. It's hard to talk to another language. But, you know, I try. I try every day. I don't give a... you know what I'm saying? End of the day, they understand me, and I'm happy with that.
There it is. There's Alpi.
Giving a lot of respect for him, man. I really have a lot of respect for the way he stepped up in the midst of this. And it's just so counter to what we see from Durant. It's just, I have a lot of respect for him, man. Yeah. I really do. I don't love when he gets in the paint and starts pump faking because I know that possession's a
I don't rat. Like when he dribbles up to his head. And when he's backing it down and he, you know, he's dribbling like, it's, you know, head high.
There's that's some things great. I don't love.
Like, no, that's not good.
You know, but whatever. That's okay.
All right, we got a break. 717 ESPN 97.5 703-780-3776. Your thoughts on the Rockets. We got Lance is going to break down the Texans' entire draft, and we got a lot of draft questions for him throughout the morning. So big, big morning. If you have a team and you want to talk about their draft, Lance can do that as
get
well.
Get it in, because I have to leave a little early because I got to get my rental car back and try to make this flight, because I've been in L.A. for a long
freaking
time. Dude,
time to go. Time to get out of there.
Yeah,
I've been there longer,
bro.
I don't want to hear
I got to get out of this 71-degree weather.
I know. It's awful.
It's 71 and no humidity.
It was
it's
great
terrible.
Here, though. And we got What Did You Learn This Weekend, one sentence, in a half hour from now. But right now, we're talking about – we've been talking about basketball. Your kids are watching the basketball, and maybe they're very upset with the Rockets. Maybe they know that they could have done a better job at the end of Game 3. Maybe they know a little bit more about basketball because you've got the best basketball goal in the world, and the best basketball goal in the world is the pro dunk goal. If you don't have the pro dunk goal, then your kids probably aren't even outside playing because they can't shoot it to a 10-foot goal. It's bent. It's terrible. There's no net. It's awful. Your goal is awful, and they're not going to play on it. They're going to play on a pro dunk goal because you can raise and lower the goal. They actually can reach it, especially the little kids. The little kids, and this will be around forever, by the way. That goal will be there for them forever. If you're going to be in this house and those kids are going to be wanting to play basketball, they will be outside. Even when they're bigger, they're going to lower the goal so that they can dunk because your kids are not that athletic. Sorry to tell you this. But here's the deal. They're going to love the pro dunk goal, and they will be outside playing, which is the most important thing, right? If you're going to buy a goal, you want the kids to play on it. And the pro dunk goal is the one that all the kids love. Raise and lower it with a push of a button. The best goal you could possibly get. ProDunk.com. Tell Keith Tate you heard it right here. ProDunk.com.
John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Here we go. What do you guys want to talk about? We got the draft. We got the Rockets. We got the Astros kicking the Yankees' ass yesterday. We got it all. What exactly is it you want to talk about? You guys will get in right away. Stafford wants to get in first here this morning, so let's get him in. And if you got anything you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. Hey, Stafford, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, man. Shout out to Spencer Arrighetti. I love the show he put on yesterday, given what we've seen. The Texans, I love the draft. Casario had a plan. He stuck to the plan. We want to run the football. But I'm calling about the Rockets, man. Lance made a point this morning where he was talking about how Udoka's personality just may not be right for the team. Now, I think we all kind of agree the series is probably over. If it ain't over and we win the LeBron and the GOAT talk, we should just never have that again. But that's beside the point. The Rockets have Brooklyn's pick at the end of next season, Phoenix pick at the end of next season, and I think they're both unprotected, which we're still kind of a young team. And personally, I would love to trade Kevin Durant because I feel like he quit on the team. But, like, can we – but basically what I'm saying is, can we have Udoka with, you know, bringing in two more young players at the end of next season, you know? Or do they plan on packaging those to trade them, which I hope we don't, because trading for big players, it does not work in the NBA anymore. It does not work. If you look at the teams that are winning the championship, they're winning the championships with their own guys. I mean, yeah, Shea started in the Clippers, but Shea was like 19 years old when he went to the Oklahoma. So I'm done rambling, but is that – can we move forward? I don't think we can move forward with him because I feel like we're still a young team. You know, we could end up with the number one pick at the end of next season.
Is Kevin Durant going to be here next year? The answer is yes.
I think yes, but yes.
The answer he will be here next year.
Is it going to be smooth? I just tend to doubt it. He doesn't. He obviously there's. Look, everyone knows that burner stuff was or the leaked text messages were real. We all operate now. I used to not. I don't know anyone who doesn't operate off it's real. Kevin Durant never even denied it. It's real. The teammates are always going to know. If you had somebody, let me just put it this way. There's no way that's not going to hurt some feelings. There's no way that's just going to be forgotten. It's just not. Maybe forgiven, it's not going to be forgotten. I think he thinks they're, a lot of them are dumb basketball players. I mean, said so in those alleged texts. That's not going away. They're not going to forget he said that. He's clearly not tight with them. You never hear about – they've never said they do anything with him. They don't even know where he was. Like, there's not even a text exchange or, what's up, big bro, how you doing, how you feeling? Oh, I'm just getting this treatment. None of that stuff's even happening. Kevin Durant is a mercenary. He's been a mercenary for quite some time. He's an independent contractor, very good at scoring. But, you know, James Harden was very good at scoring too. And James Harden's letting you down in the playoffs, and Kevin Durant, you know, Rockets almost got swept. Would have been what his third series where a Kevin Durant team has been swept. He can't win a playoff series. Not even going to play this series except one game. I don't think it's crazy that you know we kind of saw some stuff with it's not Scottie Pippen, John, but it might be some Barkley stuff. It's going to look different, right? It's not built the same way. But I'm just saying this may end up just not working out, and it will be interesting because Kevin Durant's not just going to sit on a team quietly and make no noise. If he don't want to be here anymore, if he doesn't think they can win or whatever, he'll want to be traded, and the Rockets will have to consider that at the trade deadline. But, you know, as a basketball player, he's a good basketball player. I don't know. My buddy Rodney also made this point. He goes, if you watch defensive rotations, it doesn't work. Remember, he was a former player. He said, it doesn't work if not everyone is rotating hard and being intense on their rotations to make it uncomfortable. If one guy is doing it, but the on a swing pass, the other guy doesn't close with the same intensity, then defensively, it's not working. He said the first thing he's noticed is that Kevin Durant is not playing with very good defensive intensity in his rotations, which is something that you have to do. And that's a pretty good point. It's something I didn't really, haven't been considering. There's this talk about, because he is a better defender than like a James Harden, for example, when I make the comparison, but he's not a great defender at this stage. Yeah, he's old, so we always have to give him a break because he's old. That's what I've been told by Dreamshake, because he's old, so nothing's his fault anymore, I guess. But I don't. You think everything's just going to be smooth sailing next year?
No, I don't. But I think Fred VanVleet. Listen, to a man, we're not basketball experts, but every basketball expert that I saw after Game 3 was the same thing. They didn't have a point guard. We right. didn't have someone that could take control, knew what to do with 30 seconds left in the game and a six-point right. lead. We had Jabari with the ball in his hands. We had Reed with the ball in his hands. And those two are not point guards.
And Ahmed's not a point guard.
And Ahmed's not a point guard. And Alpi's not a point guard. And Jabari's not a – none of them are point guards. The reason the Rockets lost is because they didn't have a point guard on the floor to take control, which is what a point guard is supposed to do. He's supposed to be the smartest guy. He's supposed to be an extension of the coach. He's supposed to know what to do in every situation, and the Rockets didn't have that. And that is on the front office, period. It's on the front office. The guys have been basketball players forever. They have to be accountable. They made the mistakes, and that's all fine. But they did not have someone who should be on the floor. And that is Rafael Stone's job. And Rafael Stone failed them this year. All year long, this has been the case. They don't know how to close out a game. How many times did they lose leads that they shouldn't have lost this year? They should have had home court advantage because they blew so many games. They had more talent, and they blew the game because they didn't know what to do at the end of games. And that has been the biggest a problem with this team all season long. And it's because they didn't have someone who could handle the ball at the end of the game. So everybody gets their blame. Kevin Durant should have been on the bench. He finally was. They shouldn't have lost that game. The series should be at least 2-2 or even 3-1 Rockets, because they should have taken. I mean, this has been a total disaster. But they weren't going to win anything anyway, according to GM. So oh well. Oh, well, this season was lost anyway, so big deal. No, this is on everybody. This is on everybody in the organization, because they should, because everybody played a part in this, including the head coach, who won't take any responsibility. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. I went on my rant. Sorry. But they need to do something. Oh, Fred's coming back. Great. Fred's coming back, everybody. So everything's going to be fine next year. But we're waiting until next year. Time to talk right now about the Golden Nugget. Golden Nugget Lake Charles. They don't make any mistakes there. I love me some Golden Nugget Lake Charles. I love what they do. I love going to the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. It is one of my favorite places, because you don't have to go. Listen, I just saw a piece on Las Vegas, and not that against Las Vegas, but the charges that they are charging you now are exorbitant, through the roof, every time you rent a room in Las Vegas, that you don't have the same stuff. Louisiana is bad with the taxes, but not nearly what Nevada is right now. Nevada is just, it's silly what you have to pay and the charges that you have in Las Vegas. Listen, it's so much easier to get there. I mean, you drive 2 hours down the road, 2.5 hours down the road. It's so easy, as opposed to going to an airport 2.5 hours before your flight. Okay, so you want to get to, you want to gamble, you want to the sports book, you want the nightclub, you want the concert venue, you want the golf course, you want the pool, you want the restaurants, you want the great hotel. 2 hours and 2.5 hours down the road. GoldenNuggetLC.com. Be much, so much easier than Vegas. GoldenNuggetLC.com.
You're listening to John and Lance,
broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we are. I don't know. I don't understand this. We've got sound from Amen saying he doesn't know about Durant's injury, right?
No, that's not it. That's not it.
It was his mood. Is that what?
He didn't know what his mood is.
The answer to the question was it was about his mood. He didn't. I don't. I don't really know.
It was about his mood,
according to Big Sarge. Had
he said this was the context of it. I mean, still, it doesn't bode well that no one's texting with him after he was gone. Like, how you doing? How you feeling about everything? I don't know. Who cares? Who cares? He's not playing anymore.
Well, okay, but wait. Whatever. But here is
whatever.
Here's Dave McMenamin after. I guess this was before the game.
Yes,
this was before. Mm-hmm. This was before last night's game. Here's Dave McMenamin.
And then Thompson was asked about an hour ago how KD is feeling, and he said, to be honest with you, I don't know. So whether that means KD's been doing all of his rehab away from the team or the team hasn't really necessarily been checking in on him, that's another dynamic to look for as we head towards tip-off.
Well, we saw Kevin on the bench. We saw him laughing and joking with the guys, although the guys didn't seem like they were. If Fred and Kevin Durant were in on some joke that Reed, and I don't know who was actually Reed, LP? I forget who it was. They just weren't. They weren't in on. I don't know. Reed didn't look like it was all that funny to him. But they were laughing, yucking it up on the bench last night, having a good time. Kevin Durant was waving goodbye to DeAndre Ayton. How? Listen, was that an ejectable foul?
You make contact with the head, you're in trouble. From what I saw, it looked like he thought because he has to deal with Alpi minute by minute, Alpi was going to do the back end thing. So instead of Alpi's back being what
he used to
get hit in the back, he was going to hit him in the back with his forearm. Instead, it was his head because Alpi was a little lower.
Yeah.
I mean, it's whatever.
I mean,
but it was a legitimate forearm to the head. I mean,
so
it was
when it happens. That's going to be.
Yeah, I guess.
Alpi even
was
thought it
was busting our ass a little bit. Like,
well,
I was glad to see him go.
Series. Alpi right. Said
KD Dream Shake's best friend KD was like waving and he was waving bye bye to. That's one of his old Phoenix teammates that he loved so much.
I mean,
No, he was gone. Was he still in Phoenix when KD was there?
Yes, he played at least 1 year with him.
Yeah,
you know, when you're down 3-1, sure, it's going to be 3-1. You're down 3-0, but it's going to be 3-1, and you haven't played in multiple games. Perhaps we don't take the time to wave away.
They could have been waving to him the whole series.
Yeah, it's like if you're talking from the bench, maybe don't.
In your street clothes, you're waving goodbye? And he talks about fans saying stuff to players. He's on the bench in street clothes waving goodbye to DeAndre Ayton. What?
It's not great.
That's not. I mean, if I was doing it, that would be one thing. I had too many Coors Lights at that game. You don't think I was yelling at people, and especially Ime in that overtime game?
That's right. You were at the game.
I was there. It was awful. It was awful.
I have never seen such stupidity at the end of the game. I give them credit for coming back the way they did.
Dude.
I'm in the middle of my draft broadcast, right? So day two, we did 4 hours of TV, and I got first I watched Snacks and his, because Snacks had his jiu-jitsu match where he just dominated and crushed. So I watched that on my phone, and then I got my computer up, and me and Bucky are kind of checking in. Like, so I got to say picks every like 3 minutes. I'm having to say who the pick was and tell you all about this pick. But I got the Rockets open. I'm watching the entire fourth quarter on my computer. And I couldn't believe – I'm trying not to let it show, but I think I ended up talking about it. I mentioned something about it. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I almost – at one point, Mike Yam asked me about a player, and I almost didn't talk because I was so mad. I just was so mad at what I was watching. And I had to eventually tweet about it. Like, I'm doing a draft show. But I'm watching the Rockets, and this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. This is an absolutely preposterous way to lose. A 6-point lead with 30 seconds to go is almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, liquored up, too. That couldn't have been good.
Yeah, it was. I had a long day, golf, and then the game. And
what did you say? What did
it
you
wasn't
say
good for Ime, not where I was sitting. It wasn't good for Ime.
It wasn't good for him?
No, it wasn't good
for him. Could he hear you?
It wasn't good for KD not being there. It wasn't good for Jabari throwing that pass. Reed, nice job.
Did you mention KD was 37 and taking
it? Reed finally hit some shots last night. Goodness. I know it's his this is basically his first playoff.
God, his shooting's been
booty. It's been bad. He needs to – I mean, that's a guy that could have stepped up. And if he'd have shot better, it wouldn't. They should have had a much bigger than 6-point lead. They outplayed the Lakers so bad after being down. And guess what? On Kelce, I took him. I had 3-1 on him. I had 3-1 on him when they were down. I said they're winning this game. Boom. I had 3-1 on him, and they had a 6-point lead. You think they didn't catch it? You think they didn't catch it when I had them 3-1 and they blew a 6-point lead with 30 seconds?
They caught it.
They caught it for me, that's for sure. All right, let's get Chris in here, and then we got, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? There's a lot of stuff we learned this weekend in one sentence. So, Chris, let's get him in here, and then we're going to play, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? You get one sentence to tell us what you learned from something, anything. Doesn't have to be sports-related, but something you learned this weekend in one sentence. 713-780-3776. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Hey, Lance, you actually bring up a very good point that I don't think a lot of people think about, and I didn't think about it with Ime. I wonder if some of this Reed Jabari mess-ups and another professional is because every time they look over, Ime's throwing something or walking back to grab another substitute. And there is a certain sense, I'm not saying like it's fun, fair, positive encouragement and all that, but I do get the sense like there is some maybe hesitation is the word I'm thinking of or something like that. And then it's tough for KD because he's a good scorer. I like his attributes. But if you think about the past championship teams, like if we were to win the championship, nobody's rallying around like hugging him. They don't even know the guy. But like Jokic and Shea, Giannis, Bron, like those guys are invested. It just feels kind of weird. In the end of the game, Jabari, he shouldn't have been bringing the ball up. Like we should have had, I don't care, Aaron Holiday, you know, Reed Shepard, a couple point guards in there. I mean, how do we not know how to break a press or get a, I don't know. I blame a lot of this on email. I'm a little frustrated with the situation, but I do think the fatherly thing, I'm not, maybe fatherly is the wrong word, but there is some sense in which everybody's scared. Like, they always look over, and he's, like, losing his mind. I don't know. It just feels like he's a control freak. I'm ready to move on from him. If you think about Mark Jackson moving to Steve Kerr with the Warriors, Mark Jackson was a real hard-ass, and then you move to Kerr, he's the player's coach, and now you have a nucleus. I think that there might be something to that if we could figure out the next coach after you, man. I'll hang it up.
We'll see. I know there's some frustration all the way around with that. There's some frustration, a little bit of frustration with the head coach. There is, and it should be. And if there isn't, then I don't know. This team was supposed to be better than this, and they're not. And it's on everybody in that organization that they're not. Everybody. Time to break, and let's go. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Lance, what have you learned about M&J Electrical?
I didn't learn anything recently. I mean, I've been knowing this. We cut a commercial with Jacob Coker's, the owner's wife and daughter. And the thing, I didn't want to mention this. The family is really a neat family. They're a high-performing family. And the way that the owner goes about his business is he really empowers people to become their best self. And It's a little thing. I mean, you may not think much of it. You may say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it just kind of speaks to the way that they do business over there. They want to make sure that you are happy with the work that they're going to do for you, whether it's selling you brand new or refurbished equipment, like, and this is circuit breakers, transformers, disconnects, panels, switch gear, whether they are selling it to you, whether they are buying it from you and refurbishing, or whether they're coming in for the removal. And if you're in charge of a large project, they come in and they'll do the removal for you, and they give you good money for the old electrical stuff, and they can also, you know, sell you the new stuff that you need. They are so good at making sure that you are happy with the parts as well. For a lot of companies out there, your lead times just get blown up because you've got parts that are on standby, and you're having to wait and wait and wait for your project that's costing you money. MJ, they are going to have the new equipment or the refurbished equipment. They're going to have it available for you 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. and they're even available for emergencies. So make sure they're located at Steubner Airline near I-45 North and West Little York. Make sure you give them a call, and they will take care of you on the buy, the sell, or also the removal at 713-699-5055. That's 713-699-5055.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, welcome back. Time to play What You Learned This Weekend in One Sentence. One sentence is all you get to tell us what you learned this weekend. I learned something. I learned that Marlon Klein, the Texans' second-round pick, is from Germany and has a smoking hot girlfriend who's a Detroit Pistons cheerleader, so he's a fine addition to our city.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's a fine addition, as opposed to the act. Never mind. There's something fine there, but I don't know if it's Marlon.
It's Marlon. He's a fine addition.
Nah, there's something fine.
There is something fine
in the mentions, but I'm not sure in your mentions there. But yeah. I'm not sure if it's Marlon.
I learned
that if you want to find someone who's about it, go look at second division Spanish league soccer.
Okay. I learned that tight ends are really important.
Why tight ends, in fact?
Really important.
Why tight end? Very important. Yes.
I just learned that Marlon Klein's girlfriend is a dancer for the Detroit Pistons.
That's what I said.
John just told you that.
You just learned that.
Learned that from
I just
John.
Learned that from
you learned that on Monday, not this weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
Here we go. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? First up is Mike. Mike, what did you learn this weekend?
Yeah, I learned that there's a hot mic audio of Ime and KD arguing back and forth about who he hates the team most and who's going to be able to leave first.
There's no way that's true.
That's not true. 713-780-37.
Better not be true. I just feel like there's an outside chance. Yeah, it has to be true. If that's true, you better send us something.
Yeah. AI Tom is here with us on ESPN 97.5. Hey, AI Tom.
Morning, gentlemen. Sorry about last week. I had a virus. I learned how to hack your iCloud photos. Oh, yeah, nachos.
What?
He learned how to hack your iCloud photos.
We may not be
making nachos.
Nachos, yeah. Oh, right. I don't know. That's an improvement. Incremental improvement is what we're looking for. We could hear him this time.
Yeah, but the voice
I enjoyed. Now we just got to work on the material.
Yeah, the material wasn't great.
Yeah, you just find a new writer.
AI Tom.
If you do that, you got to shout.
AI Tom should be writing better than
to
that.
To be fair, AI ain't great sometimes when it comes to. Maybe that's the bit he's doing when it comes to actually sounding like a human being. So maybe that's the bit. Let's move to Ocho.
Ocho's up next. Hey, Ocho.
Yeah, I learned that you feel as good as I do if you bet $100 on the Lakers to win the series at +550 and another $100 for them to win it in five games at +220.
Nice. I think you do feel pretty good about yourself, don't you, Ocho? But guess what? That series is coming back here. So your little game five thing, okay, that series is coming back to Houston. Just so you know. Just so you know, sir. All right? I saw a much better basketball team out there.
Did you?
Well, because KD was there supporting them.
I mean, I didn't see a different game. I just saw, the Lakers, hey, you know how we throw the ball away all the time? Let's do that even more tonight.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's what they do.
And it hadn't kept them from winning games before. This is classic old team.
The only reason this series isn't tied at two is because of low-key.
Well, the Rockets are not going to stop being low-key. They've been low-key all season. That's classic old team. Yeah, we got our one. Let's go home. Mm-mm. Ain't nothing different.
No, here we go.
We've all watched generations of playoff series at this point. Mm-mm. This is how this goes. The old team's like,
It does kind of go like that, where the other team really focuses.
No, not this case, it doesn't. Not this case.
Remember, I hope you're right. But we have seen the
Red Sox down 0-3. Yeah. Boom. Mm.
Yeah.
Came back. Kevin made a whole series about it. Wait till they make this series.
Remember when Kevin Millar had that bone bruise in his ankle and couldn't play?
No.
It wasn't Kurt Schilling bleeding out of the
Kevin
ankle?
Kevin Millar was Kevin Durant.
Can you imagine if Kevin Durant's Kevin ankle was bleeding?
Wasn't Kurt Schilling bleeding in pitch?
Schilling, yeah. All right.
No, I'm just Kevin no, Millar. I'm just throwing name, just throwing names of the Red Sox out there.
Pedroia.
Just random names.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot about the bloody sock one. KD will play with the bloody sock. He'll do that. Mm-hmm. That guy plays hurt.
Let's get Julian in here. Hey, Julian, what'd you learn this weekend about your 49ers?
Morning, fellas. I learned that the only consensus that John Lynch and the Niners are worried about is the consensus in the building.
Mm-hmm. So you probably don't know this, but John Lynch was this guy who's a rabble-rouser and a muckraker in the Bay Area. He's, like, known for just trying to cause problems at press conferences.
Grant Cohn.
Yeah, what's his name?
Grant Cohn.
Yeah, so Bucky was telling me about him. He asked a question. He asked a very pointed question about them continuing to reach and having bad drafts or something like that. And the look on John Lynch's face was like, I want to strangle him so bad.
Well, I do have the ranking of the draft reaches, and 49ers were number one in reaches.
They've had some rough drafts. Yeah. If you go look at the 49ers drafts, John Lynch is now a close personal friend because I talked to him at the Senior Bowl. So now we're probably pretty
besties.
Close.
Yeah.
And I want him to do well. But when somebody mentioned the 49ers drafts being so bad and I looked at it, I was like, oh, this is rough. That's rough. It's been a rough run for a little while now.
Yes. I got the Rams had the second most reaches and the third most reaches?
Texans.
All right. We'll talk about
I'll
that.
I'll talk about the next hour. We'll lead off.
Yeah.
I'll give you every thought on every pick.
Yeah, we got a lot to do here.
Yeah.
La raza que pasó, mijo.
Los Angeles Johnny. Give us a salchicha.
No, I don't like this one.
Damn it.
Hey, give me some of that salchicha. Hey, give me some of that salchicha.
Gentlemen, good morning, para tres.
Gentlemen, good morning. So I'll make this short and sweet. So I found out that I learned that my uncle Tio Isaac was the one giving the Houston Texans the 141st pick.
I didn't understand him.
He said, they have fans make picks for teams.
Oh, yeah.
His uncle made the pick for the Texans. No, at least that's what he said.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that's his uncle.
I mean,
that dude was. Is he the one who goes, did they tell you? He was trying to. He was screaming. He was from Mexico City, I believe. He was screaming. Like, you could tell he had been out drinking and yelling and partying the day before, and his voice could barely get through it. I know that's who he's talking about.
I don't know who. I didn't know. I missed that.
Do you have it, Dell?
Well, La Raza sent it to me. I just saw it. I mean.
Oh, okay. It is. And it goes on and on. It takes. Wait, here. Muchas gracias, Exxon. Por realizar este sueño para mí.
Gracias a todos. Oh, wow. A los Ifotis.
Muchas gracias, hermanos. Just a bunch of stone-faced white people in the crowd going, what are we sitting through right now?
Basically, all of the international people all partied with each other, because they fly in people from London and from Australia and, you know, who are NFL fans. And every one of them who got up there took, there's a real brotherhood that is developed with all of us from overseas. And it shows that the game is truly international. And they're all of them are just completely lit.
There was a Australian, maybe, or Irish, I forgot, Ravens fan. She said, I'm going to make this short, like your playoff run, Steelers.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah, that was one of the sickest terms of
the whole. Yeah, Mark Ingram, who only played for the Ravens for like a season and a half, was like, he put his son up there, and his son goes, the Steelers still suck.
Yeah, Mark Ingram dressed in purple.
He played for the Ravens? Oh, yeah, for like a year.
He was dressed in purple, too. Like, he's officially a Raven.
He said Ravens flock, whatever they call themselves. We got a couple more people to get to.
All right.
He
was a longer saint than he was a Raven, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Yeah, good morning, guys. I learned that Devari Smith should have been a part of that trade to acquire KD instead of Dylan Brooks.
Well, man, Dylan Brooks is really showing out this year.
Really,
he's had a great
that?
Year.
It would have been nice if it was. I mean, nothing against Jabari, but Dylan Brooks brought an attitude that this team lacks.
Yeah, he said he wished Jabari was in that trade.
Yeah.
And apparently that's who they one of the guys they asked for, but the Rockets said no.
Wow. Big mistake number two. Peter, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
As I learned this weekend. Oh, there we go. Hey, guys. I finally got around to watching Django Unchained this weekend, so I learned that Tarantino has free reign to use certain words.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh,
he's been using them.
Yeah, he's always pushed that envelope. Django Unchained, but go ahead and watch The Hateful Eight.
Yeah. I mean,
it's feet
or and, Pulp Fiction.
It's feet and the N-word. Those are his things.
He's known. He's well known for.
Yeah.
He says it in the he says it in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, when he's
himself, his character.
Yeah, his character does.
And his wife is black, which gave him felt like this will give me the pass.
Which he's drinking coffee and just dropping N-bombs all over. I mean,
well, he said the dead whatever.
Yeah.
In the car, and then he uses that word, and it's like, but then he gives himself a black wife, so it's like, yeah, this should do it. And this will make it much better for the script if I give my wife. If I make my wife black, I can totally say anything I want.
Anything, because I got a black wife.
I got a black wife.
Finally, Tony in Friendswood. What did you learn this weekend?
Morning, gentlemen. I learned this weekend that Lance McCullough was throwing coffee bags down the middle in just one spot. I got to go.
He was throwing coffee
Coffee bags down the middle. I will admit, I paid full attention to Spencer Arrighetti. I was just completely out of the baseball stuff because of draft stuff. What happened with McCullers? It was bad.
I mean, I don't know. 12-4, is that bad enough for you? Or 8-4, is that bad enough for you?
Burroughs was fine, I guess.
I mean, Burroughs was okay.
It wasn't terrible. McCullers.
What, 5 earned runs and 4 innings? What?
No,
it wasn't that bad. McCullers.
No, actually.
Not great.
3-4.
Arrighetti was great yesterday.
Arrighetti was
great.
I was
there.
Balling the freak out.
I was there
right
yesterday.
Now.
He brings it.
He now has, what, 2 of their 4 quality starts? No, 2 of their 5 now. Is it 2 of their 5?
Yeah.
He got, 5 quality starts. But
he ain't had a bad start yet.
No, he has 2 of their quality.
Yeah.
Their
5. They've only got 6 guys now that have gone 6 innings.
Yeah, not 6 times it's happened. Not just 6
starts.
Guys. 6 times
six
that
times.
It's happened.
There's no chance
Burroughs
he has 6
five,
guys.
Was 5 innings, 2 earned runs.
He wasn't
8
bad.
Strikeouts.
He just couldn't go deep into the game.
Oh, yeah,
and it got away
good.
From them after he left.
Burroughs was okay.
Yeah, that's a good start.
And then
I'll
the bullpen.
That.
And then five the guys that they were talking about how good he's going to be, Kiwi Ting, he lasted a third of an inning. And then it was on. The Yankees. But the Astros got him yesterday.
The Astros are like the Rockets. Saved the weekend winning on Sunday.
That's right. They saved the weekend. Not really.
No.
Not really the weekend.
Friday was atrocious for both teams.
It was a bad day for Houston. Yesterday, good day. Friday, bad day. 801 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Lance is going to break down the Texans draft when we come back. Don't go anywhere.